Hello there again. As promised, we're back with another video of the day here on the 22nd of October on the Bernie Miklas Show, part of my YouTube channel. Thanks for, as always, for your support. Much, much appreciated. Enjoyed all your comments. I was trying to answer them earlier after the first video of the day, which I did on the Cardinals hiring of Rob Serfolio. Sorry about that. I don't know why I hesitated. Maybe because I've been doing this all day. Maybe because I'm like starting to fall apart. I don't know. Could be mentally shot. I have no idea. Anyway, Serfolio, 32 years old, is going to be the assistant general manager overseeing player development and performance. And so it's an example, as I said earlier, of Chaim Bloom, who is a really smart man, hiring another smart man. And the Cardinals will continue under Chaim Bloom with John Mozeliak's approval, I must say, because these are clearly Chaim Bloom hires. And a lot of the moves that are already being made are Chaim Bloom's moves. And, you know, I think John Mozeliak is actually trying to calm any anxiety or fears out there that he's going to be calling the shots and telling Chaim Bloom what to do. I think Mo's facilitating, and he is still in the role of president of baseball operations. So he had a Zoom call today, and the point being, a Zoom conference, the point being, is he still going to be speaking for the organization? I don't know if, you know, that hasn't worked out too well for a while, but he was fine today. He was good. He was fine. I don't care about that. I care about the Cardinals adding smart people and Bill DeWitt. Making sure that Chaim Bloom gets everything he needs to rebuild this thing from the bottom floor or the farm all the way up to the top floor. And, you know, it's going to take a little time to get the major league operation a lot smarter. But Chaim Bloom, along with his new lieutenant, if you will, Rob Serfolio, they're off to a really good start in terms of like fixing this minor league player development system. Like we've always said, the talent is good. Randy Flores has been, he's been drafting good players. No draft guy is perfect, but they've had more talent in their system now than they have for a couple, 3 years. And the problem is they don't give their prospects enough tools. They don't give them enough technological advancements. They don't give them enough instructors, coaches, all that. So I'm rehashing a little bit of what I did this morning. And I thank you all for watching it as you did in large numbers. Before we move on to John Jay and also the new hitting coach, because you all wonder about these hats that I come up with. This is an old one that Mrs. Bernie found. You see who that is? Whirly 22. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Old St. Louis football Cardinals fans. They need no reintroduction to Roger Whirly. One of the great cornerbacks in the history of the NFL. And it was my honor and my privilege to make the Hall of Fame case for Roger Whirly back in 2007 in the annual Hall of Fame selection committee. And we got him through. Got him through on the rail. And it was kind of an upset at the time. I will always, always treasure the memory of Roger Whirly. Me finding out earlier, you know, that he was going to make it. So anyway, it's a personal, a fond remembrance, and what a class guy, the former Mizzou, one of the all-time great Mizzou football players. Anyway, I know you didn't come here for that necessarily, but there's always a story behind most of these hats, so you asked me to share them, and I am. It don't take too long. All right, listen, I'm really excited by John Jay coming back, and it's fun. It's fun on a couple of levels. I've said this before, and I'll say it again because you probably didn't read me when I wrote it, months ago or whenever it was at scoopsnetwork.com. When John Jay was a St. Louis Cardinals player, I very much was guilty of underappreciating him. Okay, and it ain't like the first time I've ever done it, and I'm sure I'll do it again, but. I think I'm a lot smarter now in terms of how you evaluate players and some of the things that you look for that not necessarily are defined by numbers only. And John Jay is that kind of guy. And he is really, really smart. And he did a heck of a job for the Cardinals he came up in 2010 and he moved in the starting center fielder. He played a lot in 2010, but he was more of a backup. He took over in center field after John Mozeliak made one of his best trades ever, trading that three-way deal that got Colby Rasmus out of here, got pitching help that they needed in the bullpen, but also a starting pitcher, Edwin Jackson, who actually helped out. He really did. And it kind of transformed that bullpen, and it gave him enough starting pitching depth to go forward and make a run in the 2011 postseason. And we know how that ended. But the thing about John Jay moving in center field, see, that's the other part of the trade. It doesn't count as a trade. John Jay taking over in center field, it wasn't a transaction, but I don't think the Cardinals would go on to make their comeback to get a wild card spot. And they had to make a comeback, man. They were pretty much counted out middle of August or so. And that move to John Jay, man, it just gave the Cardinals better defense in center field. It gave the Cardinals a much smarter presence in center field, a much smarter all-around player. And not only that, John Jay, frankly, compared to Colby Rasmus, and I'm going to use an old-school term for all you old-schoolers out there, John Jay was a gamer, man. He competed. He was really intense, and he loved to play the game. Colby Rasmus was kind of like, you know, he wasn't always there, even when he was there. So John Jay gave that team a boost. His teammates respected him. He was part of that so-called Memphis Mafia that had Alan Craig and Schumacher and who else am I? Matt Carpenter. I don't want to leave anybody out. A bunch of those guys. Descalso, of course. A bunch of those guys. And I underappreciated John Jay because I was just looking at the usual. I was a lot dumber then. I'm not saying I'm smart now. I was dumber then. You know, just looking at the baseball card stats all the time instead of some of the stuff that really, really mattered and taking into account some of the things that he did. He was just a ball player that got the best out of himself, the best out of his talent. And Tony La Russa loved him. And, you know, that's kind of good enough for me right there. He was a Tony La Russa type player. That's why I think Tony La Russa would be happy that John Jay, who was coaching for Skip Schumacher in Miami, teammates, is now a member of the St. Louis Cardinals coaching staff. And he'll have a variety of duties. He'll coach first base, but it doesn't just end there. I mean, he will be working with outfielders. He will be working on terms of the base running. He'll be working. John Jay's an excellent teacher. He'll be working with anybody that needs help or reaches out to him or something that he sees. He'll take charge of it. And can I go down memory lane just a little bit? Because I think Cardinals fans have an appreciation. Maybe you're kind of like me. You might appreciate him as the years have gone by more than you did at the moment. And some of you probably really did fully appreciate him at the moment. But I was looking up some stuff today. You know, when he was their starting center fielder, 2011 through 2015, the Cardinals won the most regular season games in baseball. And they won the most postseason games in baseball. And they won two pennants, and they won the World Series in 2011. And I was looking at this, too. And bear with me, because I got to go to the notes, as always. When John Jay was their starting center fielder, when he started, okay, when he was a starter in center field from 2011 through 2015, the Cardinals had a 596 winning percentage when he started in center field. He was a glue guy. He did a little bit of everything and did a little bit of everything very, very well. Did he have big bombastic stats? No. But he got on base at a good clip. There were times he hit for average. And like four of his five seasons as a starter, he was above average offensively. Not in a booming way, but he was technically, if you go by a couple of the metrics, he was above average offensively, and he was about an average center fielder. I think maybe a little better than that, but the defensive run save, they don't show that. But he was certainly an upgrade over some of the stuff they were putting out there. Smart player, really good base runner as well. But here's one that I like. So in addition to him having the Cardinals having a 596 winning percentage when he played, when he started, 596 winning percentage, They literally won 100 more games than they lost. They were 309 and 209. That wasn't a coincidence. John Jay was part of that winning culture, and that's also the kind of culture they need desperately to kind of curate again here in St. Louis, even in, if 2025 is going to be a reset year or a rebuild year or whatever the heck you want to call it. They're taking a step back so they can take a step forward. They're going to rebuild the minor league player development system. Heim Bloom hired a smart guy. There are going to be a lot more smart people coming in here. And in my experience, watching sports, covering sports teams for a long time, smart people like to hire other smart people, and they like to surround themselves by other smart people. And then you got a really smart operation, and you work all together. There's no rivalries. It's all a bunch of smart people, you know, kind of brainstorming things and workshopping things and coming up with ideas and sort of agreeing as a group about, hey, this is the best way to go. I like that. Cardinals haven't had that in a long time, brothers and sisters, not a long time. So, I think even though the Heim Bloom move is separate from this, bringing in Cerfolio, it's a separate thing, separate department. But the Cardinals got smarter by bringing John Jay in. And, you know, John Jay, one more thing, and I know I'm being a little disjointed here. Man, I told you that they had a 596 winning percentage when he started from 2011 through 15. You know what his stats were in the wins, in the games that they won, and they won 309 regular season games. He hit 305. He had a 376 on base percentage, and he had a 411 slugging percentage, which is nothing wrong with that. His OPS was just about 786. So he wasn't just kind of a guy along for the ride. He had a lot to do with those 309 games that they won with him as their starting center fielder over that time and getting to the playoffs every single year during that time. So they got smarter today by adding him. And I think he'll make terrific contributions across the board. And there's also some palace intrigue. I'll get to that in a minute, okay? There's some palace intrigue. And I certainly want to get into the hitting coach too briefly. But the thing about John Jay is he had other options. This is where the palace intrigue starts to begin, right? He had other options. In fact, Miami, they fired all their coaches when Skip Schumacher, they both agreed to part ways, talking about Schumacher and the new guy running the thing. But they approached John Jay and said, you know, you're obviously free to go. We're not going to stand in your way, but we would like to talk to you about staying. Well, he didn't want to stay there, even though that's his hometown. And I'm told, after doing some checking this afternoon, I'm told John Jay had other offers because teams are starting to fire and line up new coaches. The Milwaukee Brewers, for example, fired both of their hitting coaches earlier this week, and they're replacing them internally with guys from the minor leagues. Coaches are getting fired all over the place. John Jay would have had, not only would he have had no problem getting another gig, he would have been coveted. He was coveted. And yet he chose to come to St. Louis. He chose to come to St. Louis for a lot of reasons. He loves St. Louis. He loves being a Cardinal, and he'll always be a Cardinal. Daniel Descalso, a former teammate, the Cardinals bench coach, they're very close friends. They think the same way. In other words, they have the same baseball values system, to put a fancy term on it. And, you know, John Jay's very familiar with Ollie Marmol as well. I mean, they all know each other very well. And I think with adding Descalso last season and now John Jay this season, I think the Cardinals have gotten a lot smarter. I think their dugout staff is a lot smarter. And this is not a diss at Willie McGee. Willie McGee did, you remember the timeline when Jordan Walker couldn't play a lick in right field. Willie McGee began working with him early in the 2023 season. And over several months, Jordan Walker got much, much better. So what happened after Willie McGee wasn't working with him? It ain't that Willie McGee stopped working with him, like said, oh, I don't want to work with him. No, when they sent Walker back to the minors early last season, there's no instructors there. There wasn't an outfield instructor. He had teammates trying to help him. There was nobody employed by the Cardinals in a teaching, coaching, instructing way to help him continue to get better. So he got worse. And you wonder why, nobody's wondering it, but you wonder why, you know, Bill DeWitt decided he's going to just blow this whole thing up down at the minor league player development system. I think the whole Jordan Walker debacle has a lot to do with that. So anyway, Willie McGee, who is you know, moving up into a front office role in terms of being an advisor, and he will contribute in another ways. Willie McGee's 65 years old. You realize how long he's been doing this, how many decades he's been in the game, traveling all the time, being away from family all the time, probably some other things he'd like to do. And not that he's gone anywhere anytime soon. He's 65. He's in great health. But it's a grind, and the kind of job he's had is a grind. And I think he's just ready to have a break, and he'll be doing things for the Cardinals. See, I know everything's a big conspiracy theory. You know, the Cardinals can't do anything without everyone turning it into a parlor game. It's like, oh, did they really push out Willie McGee? Oh, my gosh. I mean, does anybody think that? I would hope not, but I think maybe some people do think that. Yeah, listen, I'm no fan of John Mozeliak and kind of how he let this thing slide, right? But I don't think John Mozeliak was sitting around in his office rubbing his hands together and saying, well, what can I do now to enrage Cardinals fans before I go? What can I do now to get them just marching in the streets with pitchforks? What can I do to irritate these people once again, maybe like never before? I'm going to move Willie McGee out. I'm going to get him out of the dugout. That'll show these fans. Listen, you know the sad thing is, me joking about that? All due respect, there's probably a few of you that actually maybe think that just a little bit. No. You know, give Willie McGee him a break, man. You know, Willie McGee would have had a job in the dugout as long as he wanted it. And so the Cardinals said, and I'm sure Willie McGee will back it up, Willie was just ready to move on, you know, not be in that full-time gig all the time. It makes sense. That's all I got to say about it. Willie McGee's a treasure, always has been, always will be in St. Louis, in this baseball capital. So before I get to the parlor game, the real parlor game, well, what do these coaching hires mean? Well, this kind of brings us to Brant Brown, the new hitting coach. Now, I like going on X or Twitter or whatever the heck you want to call it. I like going on there. People were just like, oh, you know, this guy, Brant Brown, he got fired by Seattle. And they brought him up from the minor leagues as their hitting coach, and they fired him at the end of May. This guy ain't no good. All right, you may be right. When I did a roundtable discussion on, you know, you can find it at KMOX Sports, and you can find it on Twitter under my Twitter handle or X handle, because I repurposed it or reposted it. It was me and Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauley, and we had a good discussion about all this stuff. I'm keeping an open mind on Brant Brown. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that was a wonderful hire. But nor am I going to condemn the hire because the Seattle Mariners decided to fire him. Okay? I'm keeping an open mind. I know that that's really out of date in this modern world of ours. You can't keep an open mind. You must have a hot take immediately. Failure. Terrible hire. Great hire. That's it. No more. You know, no, I'm going to keep an open mind. We're going to wait and see. Because he's got a chance to make a mark. Brant Brown does. And he's not young per se, but he's younger. And he's younger in attitude and younger in terms of embracing technology. And he loves to teach. And he has a reputation of being a really high energy guy. Out there in laid back Seattle, that didn't always go so well. Maybe the players didn't like it because he always was trying to, you know, improve them. I can't tell you what it went in Seattle. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. It's what he does going forward. And one thing John Mozeliak said about him today in the Zoom was pretty interesting, if I can find it. And you know me, but I will find it in this pile of papers. John Mozeliak, when asked to describe Brant Brown, the new hitting coach, he said he brings a lot of energy. There's no doubt about it. That showed up in the interviews. The way he thinks about hitting and approaches it, it's going to be a change from where we've been. Let me stop right there. Sounds good to me. because you had the 12, you had the number 12 offense out of a 15 team National League last year. You were terrible. Worst hitting team I've ever seen with runners in scoring position because you're taking called strikes all the time. Mozeliak continued, and I quote, keeping with the changed model, this will be healthy for us. How he goes about teaching hitting from a strategic standpoint, I think it's going to help our younger coaches, our younger hitting coaches, and he'll be a good mentor. But I also think he'll be a new voice for our hitters, which will be good. And when pressed to sort of label Brant Brown, like, well, who is he like, you know, that kind of thing. I like this that Mo said. I do. Am I allowed to like something that he says? I'm sorry. Can I get your permission to continue? Thank you. Just kidding. Quote, when I say change, I think about where we once were with Jeff Albert and then the shift to Turner Ward. I think Brown is someone a little bit more in between, and hopefully that balance of messaging will benefit us. I think that sounds good. There wasn't a damn thing wrong with Jeff Albert, except he had long hair and a mustache. And he's like, that guy don't look like no coach. And he was into the advanced technology, which is why the Cardinals hired him. But that didn't go over so well in an old school baseball town. That didn't go over well at all. And then when Paul Goldschmidt wanted to hire his friend, Turner Ward, and then you had pandering media in this town, you know, they based their opinions, the pandering media, they base their opinions on what they see on social media. Oh, well, wait a minute. The fans hate Jeff Albert. I got to write a column, or I got to do a talk show hour on how bad Jeff Albert is. He wasn't bad. You know why I know he wasn't bad? Because Albert Pujols liked him. He worked with him in 2022 and thought he was a really sharp guy. When you have a bunch of players who are ignorant and they don't want to learn, you know, and you have people undermining you, it was a bad fit, but not because of anything Jeff Albert did wrong. However, he made the right move to go away, and whether they shoved him, I don't care. But Jeff Albert brought a lot to this operation. And the funny thing, the ironic thing about it is that the guy they're hiring now, with all due respect to what Mozeliak said, the guy they're hiring now, Brant Brown, is a hell of a lot closer to Jeff Albert than Turner Ward. I'll just leave it at that. So the Cardinals had a guy that was going to be great with younger hitters, because you got to remember, a lot of us are old geezers, okay? I'm 65, okay? Maybe, does that make me a geezer? No, we don't like change. Well, no, we don't like change, right? It's like Whitey Herzog used to tell stories about how his brother used to, like, every single summer, spring and summer, he would cut his grass the same day of the week at the same exact time, and Whitey would joke and say, I don't care if it was a tornado. I don't care if it was a monsoon. I don't care what it was. He was going to cut that grass the same day and the same time if it was humanly possible. And he never changed his routine for 50 years. That's the way we kind of get here, some of us, with baseball in St. Louis. You don't like all this newfangled stuff, right? You don't need all this fancy pants stuff. But the thing of it is, the kids they're drafted and developed today, and this goes back to quite a few years. This just didn't start. They love the technology. They soak it up. They learn from it. They see it for what it is, a really great information tool that will make them better. They're not threatened by it. They embrace it. So they throw Jeff Albert to the pack, to the wolf pack, because he didn't do anything wrong, but it's just like, well, this guy, nobody likes this guy here. Fans are always hollering. You know, the media, so they're taking shots at him, whatever. So now they got rid of him, and it was a factor in the demise of the offense, right? And now they're bringing in someone who basically is going to do a lot of what Jeff Albert was doing while he was here. This is why I say, the Cardinals got to get a lot smarter. They need to get a hell of a lot smarter, because look at how they're repeating history when they didn't have to do it the first time. Anyway, let's move on to – I got an open mind about Brant Brown. I saw somebody on social media saying, oh, my God, you know, he was hard on the players. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to clutch my pearls. He was hard on the players. He used to get on them. Oh, they didn't like that. you know what I say? I wish I could use the word I want to say. Tough bed sheets, if you catch my drift. Okay. Who cares? Little babies out in Seattle, not doing their jobs, not hitting, right? Who cares if somebody was rough on them? My goodness. Now, I know what you came for. You came for, and it's already 25 minutes in, you came for the parlor game. Here's the parlor game. All right, Bernie, what does this mean? We're all thinking, and by the way, I'm thinking it too, man. I've been making fun of some things today, but not on this part. Wait a minute. They bring in Descalso last year, former Cardinal and someone that Marmol actually managed in the minor leagues, they were teammates in the minor leagues, and John Jay and Marmol have a close association. You know, Descalso and John Jay are really good friends. And don't judge these guys because they were former Cardinals. They're good coaches. They really are. I'm talking about Descalso and Jay. They're good coaches. Descalso made a positive difference. He was somebody who was one of the reasons why they got to 83 wins, which ain't the ultimate goal. But when you've just won 71, 83 is looking pretty good, all things considered, matter of perspective. So it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, Marmol, we know he's got 2 years left on his contract, and he's going into 2025. And then after that, he'll have 1 year left. And then after next season, Heim Bloom takes over, and then Heim Bloom might have other ideas about who he wants as a manager. So why would like John Jay want to come here if, you know, maybe a year from now there Marmol's gone and there's a new manager on the way? And does the new manager want him? Does the new manager want to keep Descalso? It depends on who the new manager is. So in terms of the parlor game, I think this is the interesting part, because I'm going to just name three options. Let's just say, for what, if it's valid or if it's merited, if it's unfair, if it's fair, it doesn't really matter. They could win 92 games and shock the world next year, and you'll still have people saying, oh, he's a terrible manager. He's just horrible because John Mozeliak hired him. That's really the only reason. There are some good reasons back in 2023 too, where Marmol let the defense and base running fall apart, and that was on him. I called it a fireable offense at the time. So for those of you who every time I defend Marmol about something, you think I'm carrying his water, you know? Yeah. Oh, the guy that I said his lapse in terms of making sure they played good defense and their base running was sharp. I wrote and said on my show, it's a fireable offense. You mean me, that guy? Oh, okay. Gotcha. I'm salty. Here are the three things that make this interesting, because all three options still keep John Jay and Daniel Descalso in the St. Louis dugout. Option number one, this won't make you happy. They keep Marmol. And they bring, which Heim Bloom says, I think he's done a good job, because Heim Bloom's not poisoned. He'll make an objective opinion on this, an objective view of it. He's not tainted. And doing the fake tough. He don't need to do the fake tough guy thing on X. But suppose Heim Bloom decides that I think Marmol ought to finish out his contract. I think he did a good job. And we're kind of in a rebuild, a reset, whatever you want to call it. It's a tough set of circumstances. A lot of the young guys we're looking for, they responded well this year. So why kind of discontinue this if it's proceeding well? First of all, if Heim Bloom brings Ali Marmol back, that will immediately disqualify him as the leader of the organization. You have 75% of the fans hating him too. I'm exaggerating for effect, but he would carry the Mozeliak taint after that. All right, so option number one, if Marmol comes back in 26, well, it's no problem. You got Jay and you got Descalso, unless somebody's going to hire Descalso to be a manager or something. Okay, but if Marmol stays, okay, you just carry on. You got your coaches, carry on. And say, well, wait a minute. Not only did John Jay work for Skip Schumacher when Skip was the manager of the Marlins, the hitting coach, the new hitting coach worked for Skip Schumacher when he was managing the Marlins. And Daniel Descalzo didn't work for Skip Schumacher in Miami, but he didn't have to. They're brothers, right? They're baseball brothers. So it's like, well, wait a minute. Why? You know, we understand the teammate connection and all that, but Brent Brown, what? So you're hiring Skip Schumacher's hitting coach from Miami and you're hiring his first base coach from Miami. Huh. That must mean Skip Schumacher going to sit out this year and hey, here he comes. Your new manager, if they make the change, right? Huh? You know you're thinking that, as you should. It's fun. It's harmless. It's a good parlor game. All right, what happens if they don't hire Skip Schumacher? It's like, well, now what? Let's say they hire Yadier Molina. Let's say they hire Albert Pujols after next season, if they make a change, right? What, you don't think Albert Pujols wants to have John Jay and Daniel Descalzo in his dugout? I mean, they were teammates and they did a lot of winning together. And Albert Pujols, I guarantee you, he respects the heck out of those guys, right? Okay, what about Molina? Same deal. Brothers. Molina was teammates with both of those guys for a long time. There's a lot of love and mutual respect there because those guys approach the game the way Yadier Molina approached the game. Those guys are wired the same way Albert Pujols was wired. I'm not saying they're talent. This has nothing to do with talent. It's like you're either a gamer and you're hardwired and you're going to get after it and you're going to be smart and you're going to be doing stuff in the clubhouse to keep people in line. So the manager doesn't have to be a babysitter. You take it upon yourself to go talk to younger guys. Hey, that's not how we do this here. So even if they would hire, this is all fun. It's fantasy scenarios. We're playing fantasy GM or something here. Even if they would bring Albert in, or they would bring Molina in, or they would bring Schumacher in, or they would keep Ollie Marmol, nothing has to change with regards to Daniel Descalzo and John Jay. So I find that very interesting. Don't you find it interesting? Oh, I'm sorry. Some of you want like Joe Girardi or something. Woo! We got to go get that Joe Madden. You mean the guy they ran out of Chicago because he got lazy on the job and was too interested in being a celebrity, or the guy out in L.A. where, you know, just wanted to be a Hollywood guy or what? Oh, that guy. Yeah, okay, sure. Okay, gotcha. I'm salty. I'm going to shut up now. I appreciate you for watching this, but think about this too. I just love this. In fact, we're going to play the parlor game, but really there's several scenarios where John Jay and Daniel Descalzo will stay exactly where they are, right? Something to think about. It's fun. I just like seeing the Cardinals make changes, and there's a lot more coming. A lot more coming. More smart people on the way. Thank you. Appreciate you very much here on The Bernie Show.